Every Christmas I say to myself, Ricardo, how about this year you finally give them a feel-good holiday sermon? Because looking back, it seems like every year the message I bring to the manger comes in a minor key, as my thoughts inevitably drift back to, you know, the dark side. It doesn't help that this December I was listening to a novel on audiobook about a fascist dictatorship that takes over America in 1935, while simultaneously rereading that classic 1970s book about the apocalypse, The Late Great Planet Earth. But my friends, here's the thing, and I will say it up front. You cannot have a joyful Christmas without a tinge of sorrow. Maybe if you're a child and get every present you want. Maybe if you're being dishonest. I guess I've been in this priest business long enough to know that probably 30% of you in the pews have experienced a loss since last Christmas, or a downturn in your health or finances, or have a loved one who is struggling. So I can't really pretend that it'll be a holly jolly Christmas without a little bleak midwinter where frosty wind sometimes does make moan. So apologies in advance. As in years past, the cover art on our bulletins for Christmas Eve and Day conveys this message visually, and I did not choose this art. Can you find the cross that is half hidden in this depiction of the baby Jesus? I'll give you a second to look at that. It's on a staff. Can you see it? You can see it. Is it too dark? No, it's there. Look at the little baby John the Baptist. He's holding on to a little cross with a little pennant coming off of it. Okay, is that not true? Never mind. Well, it was in the one that I had. So often, you're going to have to take my word for it. It was certainly in last night's. There are crosses at manger scenes in Renaissance artworks. Father Bill, you know this, right? Just cover me on this. Okay. So, okay. We're going to pretend it's on a step. It was on the... So John the Baptist often carries around a little staff with a cross on it in artwork with a little banner in Latin that says, Behold the Lamb of God. And he does that even as a child. So for my joke to land, you have to imagine this. So it's on a staff that John the Baptist apparently carried around even as a child, as if he was the herald not only of the Messiah, but of the Messiah's death. And I bet that kid wasn't invited to a lot of birthday parties. So those Renaissance artists, maybe not today's, who painted these depictions, they were actually bestowing a gift upon us, I think. Because it's a message that struggle will always be with us. It's the human condition. But it's how we live through that struggle that determines our character, our mettle, and our capacity for compassion and love. Honor whatever you've been through this year, without the sugarcoating, so that the joy you truly can experience this Christmas is grounded in a hard-earned love. My message to you this morning is simple, actually. Three words. Merry Christmas anyway. We have had a lot of death here at St. Luke's. Just yesterday morning, a parishioner lost her mother. Last week, another member of our parish lost his father. A beloved former music director died in late November, and a few others are spending this Christmas in the hospital. We pray for them, we miss them, but we try to remember that they would have us carry on into more life, rather than stay stuck in grieving or sadness. Yesterday afternoon, we received a Christmas card at the church from the widower of a woman who died this past summer at age 52 of brain cancer, leaving behind two teenaged daughters. We had her service here at St. Luke's. The message that this man wrote on the card he sent was, Thank you to you and to the St. Luke's community for all of your prayers and support. M, and I are very grateful for everything. To be able to write those last four words, very grateful for everything, after such loss is so poignant. Can you, this Christmas, with whatever has happened in your life in 2024, or whatever fears you have about the future of this late great planet Earth, can you write, I am very grateful for everything? I want to try, because life is so short. I'm reminded of that old joke about the elderly couple who are dining out at a restaurant and complaining, the food here is terrible, and the portions are so small. You get it? The food is awful, and they don't give us hardly any of it. We don't know what sized portion we will be allotted in this life, and some of it may prove terrible. But we get to dine out. Less complaint and more gratitude might make for a better experience while it lasts. Merry Christmas anyway. We had a children's Christmas Eve service at 4 p.m. yesterday, and I, little Father Downer, actually toyed with the idea of giving the kids this message. The homes of Santa and baby Jesus are in danger this year from melting ice caps and from war. But then I pictured all these wailing children and angry parents, and so I offered a sweeter message instead. Let me now try to be a little sweeter with you as well. I attended the wedding of a good friend last Saturday, and the preacher gave a homily in which he quoted the words his brother always uses to sign off on his email. This life wends its way forward, and the ghosts are ever present. The preacher explained, what can I say, we're Irish. But I think it is a wise way to look at things. Because the only way to avoid being haunted by a loss or by a disappointment in your life is to never love anyone. You know this. Never want to be heartbroken? Never give your heart away. Give your heart away, and there will be ghosts in your future. Friendly ones, like Casper. But you will be haunted nonetheless. The trick is not to impede your life as it wends its way forward, and to learn to live with and love your ghosts. I think they are especially in need of company around Christmas time. Okay, so maybe that wasn't a sweeter message after all. Let me offer a story that for some reason speaks Christmas to me. I love this taco truck near my home in San Mateo because it stays open late, and if I'm getting home from work after 10 p.m., it's a real lifesaver. Last Thursday night, I stopped for some food dressed in my clergy outfit. One of the workers started chatting me up, asking if I was a priest and where I served. He was Mexican. We spoke in Spanish, but he talked way faster than I could hear, so I only caught some of it. His name was Juan. This past summer, Juan was this close to giving up and going back to Mexico because he could not find work here. But then, he said, I went to a church and I prayed, and I talked with a priest who gave me good advice, and just a few days later, I got this job at the taco truck. Then, the next week, I got a second job. And even though I get off work here at midnight and have to get up at 5 a.m. for the other job, I can stay in this country and pay my rent and my bills. My father, mi padre in Spanish, helped me every step of the way, and I'm so grateful. I got this cross tattooed on my neck as a way to give thanks. And you see this other one on my wrist, he said? That's for my daughter. I'm so proud of her. Wait, I said, your father helped you? Is he still alive or is he in Mexico? I didn't understand because he was speaking as if the father were not here. No, my father, God, Mi Padre Dios. He's the one who helped me. I prayed and my prayers were answered. And when I saw you, a priest, I thought of my father and I wanted to thank you. Well, that was something. Juan's relationship to God was so relational that I literally mistook him for a relative. The grace and faith that seemed to come naturally to this man, I admittedly have to work at. I don't know what exactly this has to do with Christmas, but it made me feel hopeful that Juan, possibly undocumented, could, in his circumstances, still be grateful for everything. Could put tattoos of a cross on his neck and his wrist, not as signs of death, but as marks of gratitude and love. The message for us, perhaps, is that the cross we see in these nativity paintings, as well as the crosses we experience in our own lives, are not meant to convey destruction. They express love, salvation, and relationship. Of Jesus' love for us, even with the markers of his death present from birth in those manger scenes, he loves us, God loves us. And though the crosses we have borne may scar us for the rest of our lives, they needn't be purely markers of sorrow. We can carry on. This life wends its way forward, and the ghosts are ever present. We hear St. Luke's gospel every Christmas Eve, like we did last night, to remind us that amidst the chaos of the world, there is contained a seed of divinity. Among the muck of the manger and the shepherds and the birth pangs, there are interspersed angel choirs, bright stars, and wise men. And we hear John's gospel, like today, every Christmas day, to remind us that amidst that trans-historical, supernatural, divine, and eternal poetry of the Word that was with God and was God, a seed of humanity was planted too, for the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Because God came down to live with and love us more nearly, we have the divine in us too, in our flesh and in our spirits. There were ghosts in the manger, foreshadows of sorrows to come, but there was also new life. So don't be afraid to hold close your ghosts as you wend your way forward through life. They are part of you, and God is with them too. We feel their presence more keenly at Christmas, and we are grateful. So Merry Christmas anyway. Amen.